Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, at chapel this week with our preschool, I was trying to explain the meaning of Christmas to the preschoolers. And so I had the little Easter eggs, the plastic ones, and I told them inside this egg is the meaning of Easter. And I opened it up and said, there's nothing here. It's because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. And so then a few seconds later, I said, so what is the meaning of Easter? And one of the kids shot out, it's nothing. Okay, let's go over that one more time. Well, I must say, my favorite Easter blooper was a pastor I knew well, Paul Jorstad. He was in Yucaipa for years, and he was reading the Easter gospel one Easter morning, and he was giving great emphasis to what the angel said, and he said, he is here, he has not risen. And at which point, what can you do? Well, the truth is, on that first Easter morning, it was total confusion. Because it wasn't what they expected. You know, and if you've ever gone into a situation expecting something and then it's not that way, it takes you a while to try to figure out what's wrong here, what's going on. And that's what happened that first Easter. The women went to the tomb with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Because his body had been taken down right before the Sabbath, there wasn't time to give it the proper burial. They had to quickly get his body in the grave because Sabbath was happening there at sundown. So they came back on Easter morning, not to find a resurrected Lord, but to anoint the body with spices. And then they got there and the stone was rolled away. They went inside and the tomb was empty. And you can only imagine what's going on. Where's the body? What happened? This isn't what we expected. And there was confusion all around. And finally, an angel or a man, depending, the text just today says a man in dazzling clothes, which we assume is an angel, said he is not here. He has risen. But so much confusion that, in fact, when you read the four Gospels and each of their accounts, you know, the different eyewitnesses, when you're confused, you remember things just a little differently. And so in one account, it's one angel. In another account, it's two. In one account, the angel was already there. In another account, the angel appeared after they were shortly there. In one, it's while it's still dark. In another, it's right after sunrise. And some people would say, well, then how do you know it's true? And you say, no, that's the way eyewitnesses work. If you ask five people and they look at what happened, they're going to remember it slightly different. And to me, the way those four Gospels are slightly different says, yeah, it was so confusing and they remembered, but the basic truth is there. Early in the morning, they came to an empty tomb and an angel or angels said, he is not here, he has risen. And so the women run back to tell the disciples what they had heard. Are you kidding? Come on. And our text says, and the disciples thought it was an idle tale and they did not believe them. Typical men. Skeptics to the end. Come on. You hysterical women, you just went there early in the morning, you thought you saw something, come on, we know better. And they got egg on their face, didn't they? But finally it tells us in our text that Peter, at least he was open to what they said, Peter returns to the tomb, and when he looks in, we're told there's a significant piece of evidence that makes him rethink his skepticism. And there in the tomb, he sees the linen cloths. And much like a Sherlock Holmes detective, it's those little details that solve the mystery. And for Peter, it was, well, if they had taken his body, they would not have unwrapped all those cloths and left them there inside the tomb. They would have taken the body along with the cloths. And just as Jesus' body passed through the doors later that night when they were hiding from the Jews, his body simply passed through those cloths and they were left there, a sign that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And yet at this point, Peter in our text is still just pondering what all happened. He's still not sure yet. But then Luke and the other Gospels all begin to tell us the other stories of how Jesus appeared to him, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples in the upper room, how he met them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee later, how he was with them when he ascended into heaven on the Mount of Olives. And so finally the confusion led to certainty. And they were certain that this wasn't just a vision, this wasn't just something they hoped for, it was reality. So how is it that we can move from skepticism, because that's the natural response to a resurrection story? Come on, people don't rise from the dead. How can we, like Peter and the disciples, move from those questions to the certainty of faith? Well, like you said, one of those things is just that small detail, the linen cloths there in the grave, just an indication that it was not a body that was stolen. For me, one of the most convincing testimonies to the reality of the resurrection is the lives of the apostles. 10 of the 11 remaining apostles all were killed for their faith. They had all seen Jesus. They had all touched him. They had all talked to him. And 10 of the 11 died when they went out to different places to share what they considered the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, you don't die for a lie. You don't die because you think maybe Jesus rose from the dead. They had nothing to gain by their testimony. And I'm sure the early church must have questioned, God, why are you letting all these great apostles be killed for the faith? I'm sure at some point in time they wondered, what is God up to? But for us today, what a witness that is. That these men went all across the world, and when they were given a choice, you know, you can either back down from this statement and live, or if you stay firm to your story, you will die. And 10 out of the 11 said, we're so certain, we believe it so strongly, we will die rather than recant, rather than say this didn't happen. What a powerful statement that this is true, that those men were willing to die for what they had seen and witnessed in their lives. But it's important for us to know that just as we have the witness of the people in the past that Jesus is alive, we need the witness of the church today. If all we had was the past and we never saw Christ present in our world today, we would question, is he alive? You know, over the years, there have been many people who have witnessed the presence of Christ in powerful ways. You know, one of those back in the last church I served in Laverne was Helene Austin, and she tells the story that her husband was in a hospital and the doctors were afraid he was going to die. He had been an alcoholic, his liver was in bad shape, he was sick, and then as she prayed, she heard the voice of Jesus. And she heard Jesus say to her, he's going to be okay. It's not what the doctors were saying, it's not what looked like was going to happen, but she heard none less than Jesus say that to her. And the next day he began to get better and better. He did get fully healed. Not only was he healed, but when he heard that story, he never drank again. And the man who was on the verge of death, an alcoholic, is now one of the leaders of that church because God intervened in his life and brought him from death to life. And there was God's power present in his life. And many of you will remember Dolores Allen, a member of this congregation who passed away a few years ago. And she had a story when she and a number of others went with Pastor Cadill over to the Holy Land. And they were at the Garden Tomb, the place where Jesus' tomb was at. And they were celebrating communion off to the side, and she went back into the tomb by herself. And then when she went in, she had a vision of Jesus. And she said it was just so real that she saw Jesus there in her midst. And she shared that testimony with so many. Yet another sign of the reality of God's presence, that he is alive yet today. And so we rely not only on the witness of the church and the apostles and the scriptures, we rely on the witness of people that encounter the power of God in their lives today. And so he still interacts today. You know, one of those stories was in that movie Heaven is for Real. You know, the child that was legally died, went to heaven, saw things, and told of things he could not have otherwise known. And you know, over the years in my ministry, I've seen so many people in those near-death experiences, or people just before they die who say they've seen Jesus, they see the light, they see people who have died before them, and then they enter into death. And so we have those modern-day stories that say death is not the end, that there is life after death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so many stories that are out there that reaffirm what the Scriptures tell us, that Jesus indeed is alive. You know, Martin Luther tells us that we also experience God's presence in the reading of Scripture. We believe that the Holy Spirit works through it, enlightens us so that we know the reality of God's presence. You know, Martin Luther often talked about his tower experience. He always felt he wasn't good enough, and as hard as he worked and as just, you know, to the point where he was washing the floors and scrubbing toilets and doing everything to prove how righteous he was, he never felt good enough to be saved by God. And then for him, he was reading Scriptures, Romans 3, the righteous shall be saved by faith. And he realized he himself would never be righteous enough, but it was the righteousness of Christ for him. And that it was that grace and forgiveness of God that allowed him to have peace. And it changed his life from a troubled life, from one who felt guilty all the time to one who was at peace. Because that's the message of Easter. It is the message of forgiveness. It is the message that none of us will ever be good enough, but God is gracious enough. And that is our hope in Christ Jesus. I know that same thing happened for me back in high school when I was reading through the Scriptures, and for me it was Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And the light bulb just went off. Yeah, it's not about how good I am or even how strong my faith is. I am saved by grace as a gift from God. And that's what Easter is all about. That Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. That Jesus came with good news. God loves us. Loves us to death. And through his death on the cross, he has saved us, and the resurrection affirms that that death was indeed God's way of forgiving the sins of the world. And so today we come and we have to determine, you know, is Easter an idle tale or is it an historic reality? There are many ways that witness to the reality of the resurrection. The linen cloths that were lying there inside the tomb. The death of the 10 of the 11 apostles willing to die to stake their belief in the resurrection of Jesus. The continuing witness of the church today, those people who've experienced the power and presence of Christ in their lives. And the Scriptures themselves, as we study them, as we engage them, the Holy Spirit can lead us to the truth so that rather than the confusion of that first Easter morning that many people continue to live with, we can be led to the clarity and to the reality that Christ is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, as we gather together on this Easter morning, drive away the confusion. If there is doubt, if there is skepticism, as certainly there was even among Peter and the disciples, shed light upon reality. Shed light upon forgiveness. Shed light upon your love. Shed light upon eternal life. Lord, lead us from skepticism and confusion to the bold proclamation that you are risen. Amen.